lovely cushion header. Pajero! Oh, Yakuza! What a headshot! What a headshot! Well, you take a second in these circumstances. What you have saved.
Hey everyone, it's Steve from the LFC Couch. How are you doing? Hope you're all well. Just wanted to bring you an impromptu podcast during the international break. We're nearly at the end of it, just over 48 hours to go, and we are back underway with Liverpool. So tonight with me, I have got Lee Boy. He's joining us for his second pod. And how you doing, mate?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Looking forward to getting Liverpool games back underway at the weekend. So
we kick it off as well, don't we?
That's it, with the early kickoff. So while we're on that, I just wanted to know your thoughts on the international break. I mean, for me, I can't stand it now. I'm not really that interested in watching any of the international football. I'll watch England when it comes to the major tournaments, but the way I look at it is the qualifiers and all the friendlies, they're all against teams we should be beating. So, and I mean, I saw we lost, what, beat Kosovo the other day, but it was just a ridiculous score. But, I mean, yeah, what's your opinion of them?
Look, don't get me wrong. I thought the Nations League was good. After I started watching it a lot more, I thought it was good because of it broke down the competition a bit better. You know, we were in a group with Croatia and Spain, so it made it a lot more competitive. Qualifiers for like the Euros and the World Cup, yeah, you're right, we should be beating every team in it. I mean, we're unbeaten for, I say we, England are unbeaten for about, what, 45 games or something? Something crazy like that.
Is it really?
Yeah, we haven't lost for years in a European qualifier or World Cup qualifier. But my point of view on it, it's a good way to make some money. Like, seriously.
In what way?
Well,
do you mean with betting?
Yeah.
Okay.
I put on like a 10-leg multi, so it was like England to beat Bulgaria, France to beat Albania, you know, all those games, and add it all up and you can make some cash. So don't get me wrong, I didn't watch a minute of it, but...
But it keeps it interesting.
Exactly right. It gives you a reason to pay attention to it. So don't get me wrong, not everyone likes gambling and not everybody likes betting and whatnot. So each to their own. But I do, and I found it as a good way to make some money.
That's one way of looking at it. I mean, I look at the results more from the point of view of the Liverpool players, for what nations they're representing, see how they've get on. And the most important thing I look at is to see if we've come back with any injuries. So I obviously looked out for the England results. I looked out for the Holland results, Brazil results as well. So I've got no interest in sitting watching them, but I'll just have a quick look at the results and that's about it. And I think, as far as I can tell, we've got a full bill of health at the moment. I don't think anyone picked up any injuries on duty, did they, that you've seen?
No, I saw on Twitter that pretty much all of our players have come back unscathed. I mean, Trent and Gomez didn't play against Bulgaria anyway, so... But yeah, no, I think we're all good for Saturday.
Yeah, it should be good. It's handy that it's at home as well, because we're the early kickoff, because we quite often get the early kickoff and away from home, so it's quite nice to get it at home.
It's handy that it's Newcastle.
Yeah, we should be. We'll come on to that in a bit. I mean, what I wanted to do was, it's early in the season, but now the international break's over. I just wanted to see what your thoughts were on how the season's gone for us so far.
We've won 4 out of 4. I mean, you can't argue with that. I mean, clearly we're only conceding one goal a game, which Alisson is a big miss for that reason. But yeah, we're winning every game so far, so I can't really complain, can you?
No, I mean, we haven't been electric for all the games, but I mean, we've played Norwich. The first game of the season is always a funny one. No one's fully up to speed, and we looked a bit shaky at times at the back, but we looked very threatening going forward. And I think Norwich will give quite a few teams a problem throughout the season. Pookie up front's going to score some goals. And, I mean, first game of the season.
Can you believe they've only got 3 points?
I can and I can't. They deserve... The way they play, I mean, who was it they beat? Newcastle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I think, obviously, Newcastle's Newcastle, so, yeah. But the, I mean, I watched the Chelsea-Norwich game, and I thought first half Norwich were good and unlucky with a couple of things, but then they just completely stopped playing second half. And even against us, they create chances, and they're going to create chances against any team they play against, but they're just, they look so shaky at the back. I think that's where the problem is. But yeah, no, first game of the season, 3 points on the board. I was happy with that. And then it was obviously the Super Cup final, wasn't it, after that against Chelsea, which was a strange one. Obviously, at the end of the day, we only want trophies. So if the performance is bad, but you come away with a trophy, we're going to be happy. Are you,
I mean, don't get me wrong. We'd rather not have played 120 minutes and gone to penalties, but it's a bit better when you win it as opposed to Chelsea who lost it. So,
well, that's it. I mean, at the end of the day, you put all that in. Once you win it, you sort of forget about the fatigue for a bit and enjoy the celebrations. But like Chelsea, 120 minutes plus penalties and then come away with nothing. It's, you got to feel for them a little bit, even though it is Chelsea. I mean, there was a clip of Kante who had tears in his eyes at the end of the game. So
bless him.
He's a quality player, though. He was probably the best one on the pitch that night.
He is. He's probably the best, what, defensive midfielder in a Premier League, you reckon? I know we're biased, but
you know, I would say, he's got to be, I would say, the best one. And Fabinho, a very close second.
Well, Fernandinho doesn't play anymore, so it's
no, I think he even said he's more of a backup defender for them this year.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
Because
they went out and signed that Rodri, didn't they? And he's looking like the normal starter for them. So
yeah, he looks good.
I'd have Kante at number one, probably. Yeah, Fabinho second. I wouldn't.
And then McTominay third.
Maybe. What a great player he is.
He was a player, United's player of the year under Mourinho. So.
Yeah, I know. But while we're on United, have you seen Paul Scholes' little flick from the testimonial?
No, I haven't.
It's quite impressive. And I was just chatting with, got the brother-in-law at the minute, who's a Man United fan, and he was just saying Paul Scholes could probably still go in there and do a better job in the middle of Man United's midfield than what the rest of them can.
Did you hear Roy Keane going on them?
Going on them or on Alex Ferguson?
Well, I mean, it was a real long interview, but
I've only seen the
main
clip
was Ferguson, yeah.
I've seen the Fergie one where he was like, Fergie didn't have United's best interests at heart.
With Gary Neville next to him.
Yeah, and Neville just like wants a hole to swallow him up and get him out of there. But
I
liked that, but when you watch him as a pundit, he's so negative. That's another thing. Like a lot of people, he would have been, I think he was a pundit for the England games, and I haven't seen any of it, but apparently he was ripping into the midfield and everything, and he just comes across really negative about things.
But he's Irish. What's he going to say good about England?
You don't have to put your bias aside and just be honest. He just wants to rip into players, I think. He just likes a whinge and a moan, but it's what it is. If that's what you like, then fair enough.
Oh, look, it gets people talking, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But anyway, enough about Roy Keane.
Yeah, that's it.
Or Man United,
in fact.
So that's it, none of that. But yeah, after Chelsea, we played, I think it was Southampton, wasn't it? And
we went away.
Yeah, and that, I was a bit concerned about that game in the build-up to it.
I was concerned with the midfield.
I was concerned just the energy levels. Early on in the season, just played 120 minutes. And they looked knackered. And then the first half, I went down to Cheers Bar to watch this, and we were sat there watching the first half, and it was, you just thought, oh, what's happening here? And then Mane scored that goal out of nowhere, didn't he? And it sort of changed the complexion.
Nice goal
of the game.
Well.
It's beautiful. Bloody good player at the minute. He just looks like our biggest threat throughout. But then Adrian had his little wobble at the end.
Bobby scored a good goal too.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Cut off the left and put it in the bottom corner. So that was easy. And then we moved on to Arsenal, didn't we? And that was just a breeze and walk in the park, I think.
It's just one of those games, isn't it? Like, you just know you're going to win. And it didn't take long at all.
No, we were all over them. They had a couple of chances on the counter, which you're going to expect when you got players like Aubameyang and obviously Pepe's there with pace. They were always going to have a couple of chances or threats on the counter, but they can celebrate the fact that Pepe took it past Van Dijk all they want. Oh. We took the 3 points. Have you actually seen the video though, when he takes it past him and then what happens afterwards? He like puts his foot on the ball and like falls over.
Yeah.
So,
well, did you see how Salah went past Luiz?
Oh, it's beautiful.
it was gone. 1-2 see ya.
I think I could run past David Luiz though.
You reckon?
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I'd give him flick it around one side of him and run around the other, as you would know as a G. Robertson.
Yeah, I would. Yep.
And it'd be done.
Popular in our hometown now.
That's it. But that was very straightforward, easy game. And then it was Burnley, wasn't it, just before the international break, which I don't ever think I've seen us go to Turf Moor and come out of a game looking so comfortable. It was
very strange. It's just one of those games, I think any, in inverted commas, top six side can feel comfortable going to Turf Moor, whether it be City, us, Arsenal, Chelsea, whoever. It's always going to be a tough game, a physical tough game. And we've learned, particularly under the Klopp regime, we're dealing with those teams a lot better now. I mean, look, last season we lost one game, but we look composed and we look like we're ready to score at any particular time. We don't panic now when people shut up the shop and we break through. I mean, don't get me wrong, this game was a bit easier. But I'll take it. I'll take it all day.
Yeah, I think the thing that I took from that game the most was the we out Burnley'd Burnley at sometimes.
Mm.
They just, and their fans were whistling and booing and they didn't like it. We hustled them, put them under pressure. They kept trying to just lump it up top and Van Dijk was going to win those all day long. No problem. I think they had a couple of chances. Was it Adrian made, I think, a very good save in the first two minutes. Yeah. And then he had a save right at the end.
He did against Southampton as well, against that Japanese dude. Was it Yoshida?
Yoshida, for a point-blank header. That was a very good save. And I think I said it on a previous pod. I don't doubt him with his reactions and his actual saving ability. He's not as good as Alisson with the ball at his feet, which when it's one of those old cliches, you only realise how good a player is sometimes when he's taken out of the team.
Yeah, and exactly.
Another goalkeeper in Alisson's place, you appreciate how good he was with the ball at his feet, and he just gives another option to our defenders to pass to and opens us up. But
I just don't understand why he was a free agent. Like, why wasn't he at a club? I know he was at West Ham a couple of years ago, but
yeah, he was only released this summer, I think. So he was there as an understudy for, was it Fabianski displaced him, and then he was training on his own in Spain. It's a weird one that we didn't act, or anyone hadn't acted sooner. A part of me thinks that Liverpool knew the Mignolet deal was sort of lined up a while ago, and we'd probably already sounded out Adrian maybe, and it was just a matter of lining it all up at the right time to do it.
He's a decent backup. He's a decent keeper for, Carabao Cup and early FA Cup games.
Oh,
so Alisson can focus on Champions League, Premier League and later stages of the FA Cup if we get there.
That's it. And I mean, I think Alisson's still a little bit away from fitness. I've been reading the last few days, I think he's stepping up his training, but they're still not putting a date on it because they don't want to risk him, because when you do your calf as a goalkeeper as well, it's difficult because he's going to need that for pushing off and just taking his kicks. So,
well, we'll have to go old school and get a defender to take the goal kicks.
We can always do that. I used to when I was in goal a lot of the time.
Yeah, but
job
you
done,
were
just
a
get
keeper.
Van Dijk to hoof it. Sorry?
You were a keeper, so you should have taken the goal kicks.
Yeah. No, I used to get a defender to take them for me sometimes.
I get you.
Just get someone like Van Dijk in and hoof it. Probably get it to the other edge of the box, down the other end.
That's it. Surely job anyone done. Can take a goal kick.
It's not hard, is it? You just run it and hit it as hard as you can. But it depends if you're going for pinpoint. I think Alisson a lot of the time likes to pick people out.
Pepe Reina was huge at that with Torres. He'd launch it into Torres's feet.
Yeah. And that's the thing. We had Pepe Reina doing it, and then we replaced him with Simon Mignolet, and he was just... I got a lot of respect for Mignolet as a goalkeeper over the years, but he just scared the life out of me if you had a
ball
at his
feet. Was that what it was? Pepe to Mignolet? Was there nobody else in between that?
I think it was Mignolet. I'm pretty sure. It was around that time. I might be wrong. There might be someone else, but if it was somebody else, it was only a very quick...
I'm sure we'll get told if there is...
Bogdan. I know he was in there at some stage, but he wasn't the replacement. The ginger ninja. And then didn't he make his debut against Watford and then drop the ball from a corner and they scored after about 2 minutes?
We're more than versed in having dodgy keepers that drop stuff. It'll be Grobler, David James, even Pepe when he was against Everton.
Oh, he dropped it onto Andy Johnson's head, didn't he?
Adam Johnson. Fool. No, Andy. Andy, yeah. He went to school with us, yeah, didn't he? No, Adam Johnson is a pedo. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. But yeah, no, we've had some poor ones over the years. I think.
Look at Alisson last year.
Yes, Leicester. He made the mistake. Yeah, he made the mistake. But best goalkeeper. Okay. We've had some other good ones. Remember Peggy Arfix said?
Legend.
And Charles Etonge.
Again, another legend.
Brilliant. I used to remember going, that was around the time when I was going to a lot of the games, and I'd just watch him in the warm up. And the guy wouldn't move. He just wouldn't dive. He'd just watch everything fly past him. And I was like, if this guy ever plays for us, we're in trouble.
And let's not forget, all right, Sander Westerveld. I mean, Karius.
Oh, God.
He didn't make a mistake. Yeah.
No, never.
No, he's good, solid.
We had that Brazilian goalkeeper for a bit as well. Was it Doni? He had a bit of a medical condition with his heart.
Yeah, something like that. Clearly doesn't ring any bells.
But he weren't there long. But I think he was actually one who earmarked Alisson years ago as being a top keeper to look for. And I think he actually recommended him to the club. So he might not have done much for us on the pitch, but if he's...
Makes you wonder though, doesn't it? I mean, we spanked, what, 6 or 7 goals past Alisson last year in Champions League?
Yeah, but he can do anything last season, could he? The year before last,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. But the defence just left him exposed. We just ran riot. And then he comes to us and he barely concedes.
Well, when you got Virgil in front of you, it makes a big difference.
That's it. I think it'd be a much different sort of scenario without him in there. I mean, even the likes of Joel Matip, he's been brilliant, I think, so far this season, carrying on from the end of last year. But if you're not alongside Van Dijk, are you going to be putting in those same sort of performances? I'm not so sure.
Oh, no, God, no. I mean, we saw he was like alongside Dejan Lovren and he'd go off these rants like a giraffe just streaming down the pitch. Don't know what he's doing up there. I've got nothing against it because he's got Verge behind him now and Trent and Robbo to cover him. But back in the day when it was Klein and Milner and Lovren and Karius or Mignolet, you're not that comfortable with him doing it. Now I'm all for it.
That's it, just go on a run. Just think you're like Maradona for a stage, run down the pitch. He actually has quite a high success rate with his dribbles as well, which is quite random.
Well, he made some great dribbles and passes in the Champions League final.
Yeah.
Not that I remember an awful lot, but...
I think our heads were about to explode by the time the game's kicked off, wasn't it?
It was a shocking bad game, but I'll take it.
That's it. Don't care if at the end of the day you get the trophy. We'll take that. We'll take all the bad performances ever. I mean, like...
Well, look at the good ones on the way. Doesn't matter.
Exactly. And then you got to look at the Champions League final the year before. We started that game, the first 20 minutes, really good, and then walk away with nothing.
Yeah, exactly right.
We can play like a bunch of twats.
The games leading up to it, the Man City games and the Roma games and Porto, we just demolished them.
Yeah. Looking forward to that getting back underway. So we've got a big week coming up this week, haven't we? We've got Newcastle this weekend, and then it's Champions League back on next week, isn't it?
Yeah, now it'll be back to reigning champions, back in action.
And is it Napoli at home, I think, isn't it?
Is it home or is it away?
I thought home, I might be wrong, but I know it's Tuesday night, so Wednesday morning our time.
I can't say I've checked since the draw was made. So.
You've been too busy watching your international football to care.
Kosovo, Czech Republic, big game.
No doubt about that. But yeah, so this week coming up...
I was scouting for England.
I'm sure you were. Get your comments into Gareth Southgate. But yeah, so this weekend, Newcastle. What are your thoughts? I know it's obvious, but what are your thoughts on the game?
Comfortable win. I can't see anything else but winning, you know, 3 or 4 goals to nil. Or, you know, 4-5-1 or something like that. Because I'm still thinking Joel Linton's going to be an absolute monster of a player. I mean, don't get me wrong, my knowledge is based on FIFA last year. and he was a beast on that game. So I can only imagine he's going to do the same in the Premier League. Just give him time. Give him time.
So you're backing them to get one goal then?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm 3 or 4 nil, I think. It's just one of them games. When they come to Anfield, they don't seem to turn up in recent seasons, and we sort of seem to turn it on. But then if the Newcastle of last season that we played at the tail end of the season at St James's Park turn up, then we had a lot of problems there. But then they haven't got Rondon. Rondon was causing us all sort of problems. So if someone else is going to do that job and they put on that performance, then it'll be tougher than we think. But
I would take Joel Linton all day over Rondon.
Yeah. But
Alan Saint-Maximin or whatever his name is.
Yeah. But then they've got a manager like Steve Bruce this season. So
what are you saying?
How do you go from Rafa Benitez to Steve Bruce? It's sort of nearly on par with
such
us.
A badly run football club.
Well, true. It's nearly on par with us going from Rafa Benitez to Roy Hodgson.
Palace are doing all right. I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, they may be doing all right because that's his level. Get him at a big club and he starts applauding us getting home draws against West Brom and stuff like that.
But Rafa had like an absolute mental breakdown and just lost the plot, so...
Yeah, I know. It would have been interesting to see if he stayed on and how he'd have got on under the current owners. But
it would have been interesting to see what would have happened if he didn't go mental on TV going at Fergie. We would have won the league.
Oh, about his facts?
Yeah.
The damage is already done before that. We dropped too many points. Too many draws. Too many bloody draws. Same as 13-14.
All ifs and buts, eh?
That's it. But now I think this weekend coming, I think 3 or 4 nil I'll take. That's what I'm expecting, maybe more. But I can't see a Newcastle win. I'll be absolutely amazed if they get anything.
God, no.
Over the years, we've had some absolute thrilling games with them, but yeah. I can't even see it being one of them. I mean, I still look back and I remember exactly where I was when the first 4-3, when it went 1-0.
I was at my nan's.
Yeah, I was at my dad's watching it, and it was just the one that went backwards and forwards, because there was the one the year later where we went 3-0 up, and then they got it to 3-3, and everyone raved about it being the best game ever, and it was nowhere near as good as the first one.
Faustino Asprilla
and David Ginola, and was it Fowler and Collymore got our goals?
Warren Barton scored for them. I actually watched it on Optus, a classic matches the other day, both of them.
Warren Barton scored in the second one, didn't he?
Yeah.
But no, I still listen back to, I can still picture Collymore scoring the winner and the commentary of Barnes and Rush playing the 1-2s. Oh,
that's as iconic as the Gerrard at the opening of the show. Yeah.
They even used it in the Pass Movers, the Liverpool Groove song as well. So I'm not ashamed to say I've still got that on my iPod. So that comes on every now and again and I just picture
it. Maybe we'll sing it at the end of the show just to remind everyone.
Yeah, no, we won't. My karaoke and singing days are over.
I'll do the John Barnes.
Okay, so you're going to sing the whole song.
I'll do the Anfield rap as well whilst we're going.
Yeah, do it all. And the World in Motion.
Yeah, why not? International break, let's go.
I'll let you go. Off you go.
I don't know.
No takers. No takers. But yeah, I don't see it being anything like that. No thrillers. I can see it being a comfortable win. But
yeah, absolutely.
Who would you start this weekend? Bearing in mind we got just come back off the international break, people have done a bit of travelling, and then we got the Tuesday night game as well in the pipeline.
I mean, look, we've got a big midfield, but I'll certainly start with the, you know, what seem to be the main stars now with Fabinho, Hendo and Genie. Yep. Genie's had a cracker of a couple of weeks with Holland as well.
Yeah, he got a couple of goals, didn't he, I heard?
Oh, I think he got an assist and a goal against Germany.
I saw the assist. That was on Twitter when I was scrolling through, where he did the little...
Beautiful.
Sort of flicked it to the side, didn't he? It was quite good.
Yeah, but yeah, he could have easily shot there.
Yeah, but he does play in a more advanced role for Holland, doesn't he, than what he does for us?
Well, we've got Hendo doing the same thing now, so...
Yeah.
Someone's got to stay back on the odd occasion. But yeah, I'd certainly start with M3 and the normal three up top. And to be quite honest, the same at the back as well. I don't think there's no reason to change with Adrian in goal.
So through the 11, you'd have Adrian and then you'd have Robert at left back, Van Dijk, Matip in centre back, Trent at right back. Then you're
Fabinho,
Henderson and Fabinho, yeah. And then the normal three up top.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't see a reason why not. if you need, I mean, maybe might be worth bringing in Shaq for a decent stint. Or is he injured, actually? Because he didn't play for Switzerland.
No, he actually didn't go to international. He sort of pulled out of it and said he wanted to focus on a busy month coming up for Liverpool.
And I believe Naby Keita's back training and he's almost fully fit again.
I don't know with him because I keep hearing mixed reports. Someone was saying he was back training and close, and then I saw something else on Twitter, which I know you can't believe everything you see on Twitter. Someone was saying he's still in Germany, but hoping to return to training sort of next week. But he's going to be nowhere near the squad for a few weeks anyway. He needs to get himself fit and make sure he's right. There's no point wasting him at the moment until he gets properly fit because he just struggles with injuries, which is frustrating because everyone says, I didn't watch a huge amount of German football when he was there, but he's got rave reviews and we've seen glimpses of it. But
well, he's that box-to-box midfielder and he can run all day. Plus, chip in with a couple of goals here and there. So
yeah,
I'm all for him coming back.
Yeah, I mean, with all the games we've got coming up, we're not going to have a set midfield. I think I spoke about this on the last pod I did with Nick, that the three you've mentioned would be who I would, at the moment, choose as my centre mid. But depending on who we're playing and what games are coming up, you just rotate it. There'll be games where Oxlade-Chamberlain will come in as we're sort of going a more attacking game, and I think he can do a good job.
Well, yeah, I've got a defence field.
Yeah, and then you got Milner in there as well. Now, I wouldn't be overly surprised if Milner comes in to the midfield on Saturday, just because he hasn't been away on international duty, the others have, and he might be saving the others for Tuesday night, or vice versa. You might see Milner come back in for the Napoli game.
Have Brazil been playing?
Yes, Brazil played...
Friendlies, are it?
Brazil played Peru. I think it was sort of this morning or last night.
Yeah, okay.
And they lost to Peru 1-0. I think they lost 1-0. Edison in goal had a bit of a mare coming out for a cross, I saw. But I don't know if Fabinho played or if Firmino played. I'm not sure.
I think I did see Fabinho on a picture on Twitter somewhere playing for Brazil.
Okay. So, yeah, he might get rested because if they've only just played this morning, they probably don't return back to training until sort of Thursday night. Friday morning, and it's not much training there, so wouldn't be 100%. I would go with the team that you've picked, but I wouldn't be overly surprised if Milner comes back in for potentially Fabinho if he's back late from.
I was thinking more for Genie.
Nah, because they had their game early. They were done on like Monday night, so he's had a few days to recover. And I think Genie's got an engine on him. It's the travelling with Fabinho in the late game, I would say, and then. Realistically, are we going to need a massively defensive midfielder against Newcastle?
No, I'd say
he's going to be more important against Napoli.
Yeah, we're more susceptible to damage without Fabinho. We've seen that this year already.
Yeah, so but I think Ginny can fill in. He can do that number six role quite well.
For me, I think he's him and Virgil, the first names on a sheet.
Yeah,
every game, unless it's a reason not to be.
Yeah, and for this is the only reason I'm saying I don't think he might play because of the whole international thing that came in and the two games in quick succession. Other than that, Fabinho for me is as key to us, like you say, as Virg, as Salah, as Mane, as Firmino. He is massive in that middle. And then I think for me, he's the main one, and then we rotate the others around him. So you've got Henderson who'll come in and out, you've got Keita who'll come in and out, you've got Milner, you've got Ox.
Yep.
You've got even Shaqiri can drop in there and do some bits. You've got Lallana who can do a job there if need be. So there's plenty of options there. But
don't get me wrong, this is the right game to move about against Newcastle at home. We should be able to mix and match.
Should be.
And
we don't want any stupid drop points at this stage. We know from last season, any drop point is huge at the moment. And City have dropped theirs against Spurs, which... was quite funny because of the VAR again, but
yes,
we can't afford to drop points in a game against Newcastle at home. So,
but on the same token, we want goal differences already becoming a huge factor with Man City smashing out big wins already this season. Well, first game of the season against West Ham, I smashed them 5-0.
Yeah, they're only two ahead of us now, though. It's not like a
I know that,
gap.
But we need to try and get. As head of start as possible.
Yeah, but have they got Norwich this weekend or am I making that up?
I was literally going to ask you the same question. I can't remember who they've got.
I think they've got Norwich. So if they've got Norwich, I mean, Norwich will go at them, and I could see Norwich getting a goal, but I could quite easily see City putting 4 or 5 past them. That's the problem.
Sorry, I'm just checking who they're playing.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm sure I read it or heard someone talking about it that it was...
Yeah, they got Norwich away.
Oh, it's away, is it?
So, funny things happen.
We'll take that. 3-0 Norwich with a Pookie hat-trick.
Yeah, he's in my fantasy league this week, so...
I've avoided him because I know everyone will be having him in.
I played my wild card last week.
I've got to do my changes. So who else we got this weekend? Liverpool, Newcastle, Brighton, Burnley, United, Leicester.
They're not relevant, doesn't worry about
it. I just find it amusing how poor Man United are at the minute. Sheffield United, Southampton, Spurs, Palace, Wolves, Chelsea,
Daniel James,
Norwich,
Ballon d'Or, mate.
Oh, best player in the world, mate. He's just greedy. He dives. He's got a good finish on him, to be fair. Some of the goals he scored have been some good finishes. But as long as Pogba's in there, I'm not concerned about him at all.
He's no Harry Wilson.
He's not. Didn't he get... He got Bournemouth Player of the Month, didn't he?
What a free kick he scored the other week. Oh.
Yeah, I was watching that. Obviously, over here, that was about 11 o'clock at night, and I was just about to switch it off because City had gone 2-0 up, and then Harry Wilson smashed that one in. No keeper is saving that. I don't care what anyone
does.
But
every time he scores, I just think, he could be playing for us. He could be backup for Salah or Mane. Carabao Cup, play him. FA Cup, play him. Champions League against Genk, play him.
I don't think he's done enough to warrant a place in there. He did all right at Derby last season.
He had a belter, yeah.
But he died off towards the end of the season. And I thought this summer would be either he goes or he stays. And I thought, when I say go, I thought we might sell him. But send him out on loan. It's good because he's gone to Bournemouth, so we're going to see him in the Premier League. So we're going to see what he's like up against Premier League clubs week in, week out. And I think this will be the make or break of him. But I've just got a feeling he's never going to quite make it at Liverpool. I think we've said this in a group chat before, that he doesn't physically offer enough. I don't think he's quick enough in the mind. I don't think he's quick enough physically to do it. Yeah, he scores a screamer every now and again.
Or is he just another Jordan Ibe or Ibe, whatever his name is?
Yeah. So I don't think I'd like to see him make it, but I've just got a feeling he won't.
I just think he offers that different, you know, attacking option from midfield that we don't have. And it's the same argument I was making for Coutinho potentially coming back, to be able to break the lines between midfield and attack and score from 30 odd yards out, which we don't
someone.
Have.
We've got someone.
Lallana.
Nah, Oxlade-Chamberlain, when he's fit, he is the one player who can get in there and break the lines. He's got a decent shot on him. And
there you go, when he's fit.
He is fit at the moment. He's just working
at the moment.
Back.
He's not playing either. So didn't he come on for England, though?
Yeah, he came on. He came on in the first game, I think I saw. I don't know how he did. I don't know who he came on for. I just saw that he made an appearance, and didn't Trent make an appearance in Henderson? And I think that was it.
I saw Henderson playing against Kosovo.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's getting minutes. It was going to take him a while after that big injury, but he looked
Don't get me wrong. I want him to do well, whether he ends up at us or, you know, Charlton, for all I care. He's a fantastic prospect, and, you know, I wish him well, at Bournemouth, at least.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Jury's out there still, but as I say, gut instinct for me is he's not going to... I don't think he'll make it at Liverpool.
He looks like Torres, so...
I'm glad you said that, because I look at him sometimes and I think it, and I nearly put it out on Twitter the other week, and I thought, no, people are just going to abuse me. But he does this. There's something about him. He doesn't look like him that much, but there's something about him that reminds me of Torres.
If he grew long blonde hair and wore the white boots with the white tape, it'd be spot on.
But he wouldn't be as good as Torres was back then.
He hasn't reached his potential yet.
He's got a long way to go. He's got a long way to go. So, easy win on Saturday then, we're saying.
Yep.
What about the Napoli game next week then?
Oh, man, it's easy to say it's going to be a lot more difficult game against Napoli than it will be against Newcastle. But it is at home, is it? Have you checked that?
I'm just checking now, so while you're talking.
We beat him at home last year, but it was a lot more cagier affair, being the first game of the tournament.
Oh, no, you're right. We're away.
It is away.
Yeah.
So I think you might be right with the Fabinho issue at Newcastle. I think you might be right to save him.
Yeah.
For Napoli, because, you know, we were... Can I swear on here or not?
Of course.
We were dog shit against Napoli away last season.
Oh, we were rubbish.
We were dog shit away at each game last season until we got
lost.
Well,
we lost all three, didn't we, in the group?
Yeah, and then we beat Porto away. We lost to Barcelona away.
We beat Bayern Munich away,
but that's shitty
it.
At home.
Yeah.
But yeah, Napoli away, I think it's going to be. I mean, look, if we get a draw, I'll be okay.
Well, that's the thing. They say you win your home games, you pick up a couple of draws or a win away from home and you're through. So I can't see us putting in any sort of performance like we did last year, because as you said, it was absolute shite. So if we do that again, I'll be amazed.
Who's our second game away in the Champions League?
That's
a random question. But
our second game away? I'm not even sure now. Now you're asking.
Because what I'm thinking is, if we draw at Napoli, we win our next game at home, win our two games at home, and then if we win the second game away, that's essentially 10 points and we're done.
We play Genk.
Well, lock it in.
So that's our we play, obviously, Napoli away. We've got Salzburg.
Genk back to back.
We've got Salzburg at home, and then we play Genk away, which you're probably right, we then play Genk at home.
So by that game, we should be through. At the end of that game, we should be done and dusted.
Should be, but we'll see. We'll see. As long as...
We need to make it easier than last year, let's put it that way.
Well, yeah, because you'd like to think we've qualified early, and then those later games in the group, he can rotate a little bit and then go back and concentrate on the league.
Yeah.
Because we want to have that done and dusted sooner rather than later. We don't want it going down to that last game like last year. But at the end of the day... Went down to the last game and we end up winning the tournament. So if that happens again, no complaints.
No, not at all. But again,
and I don't see
I'd rather
us having
it be comfortable.
Yeah, but looking at our group, I don't really see us having a problem getting out of that. But then I did.
There's no PSG. There's no incredibly hostile Red Star. So it should be comfortable. Even Napoli, they're not the same side as they were last year. So.
We'll see. Koulibaly in defence, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, well, he's getting a lot of racist abuse. I mean, he's a monster. Imagine him with Virgil at the back. Oh, Jesus. No one's getting through him.
You'd be scared to go near him, wouldn't you?
Oh, it'd be horrific. But it'll be fun for us.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. We're never going to get him. He's the one. He keeps getting linked to Man United, but is he really going to go and drop
him? Nobody wants to go there.
Yeah, they do. Most expensive defender in the world, Harry Maguire.
Yeah, worth every penny. Yeah.
Exactly.
Deleese turned it down. He laughed at it.
Yeah.
I mean, so many players got linked over the summer. All of them. They all got linked. And even Ronaldo's linked to going back. Not a chance.
Yeah, it's just the press. They're bored. They have to link players. But, I mean, Man United, who do they sign? They made three signings, but not what they need, in my opinion. But
Who did they get? Maguire,
Wan-Bissaka, and Daniel James.
See, Wan-Bissaka's a great right back.
Is he, though?
Yes, I think
he's good
is.
At making a challenge, but we had this discussion.
And do you want to know my theory on this?
Why?
Bulk fantasy points.
Okay, so you're going back to your fantasy points. He's a good player. But if he's got to go to ground all those times and make those last-minute tackles, I'd question how good he is technically and in the mind. He's a bit like Lovren. Lovren was having to throw himself in and make these last-ditch challenges. And Wan-Bissaka says he loves all that. But and it's been mentioned before that like Van Dijk doesn't have to make those challenges because he's one step ahead. He knows where it's going. If he has to make a challenge, then he's made a mistake. And that's my one concern with... Wan-Bissaka, he loves a challenge, and everyone gets excited about his tackle stats. But
I think if United can, you know, turn the corner again and become a decent side, he will be huge for them down the right flank, much like Trent is for us. But here we are talking about United again.
Yeah, you need to stop there. We'll move on from that. So, anyway, random question. I heard this on a pod. I think Nish did it the other day.
Here we go.
What has been your favourite moment of the season so far? If you could pinpoint one bit. It's only been 5 games.
Okay, well, I need to think. 5 games, season. I think the most important moment so far this season was Mane's goal against Southampton.
There you go. You just picked it right out of my head.
Just I think that was screaming for a 0-0 draw.
Well, I was thinking they were looking like they were going to go on and get the first goal. And the timing of it, to just from nowhere, to smash that in the far corner right before half-time, it was like just basically killed them. And then second half, we came out a completely different team, dominated them, and it was only the error towards the end that brought them back in it. So, no, I was going to say the same.
Plus just the Norwich game as a whole, just to hit the ground running, get the first win, win it comfortably, you know, 4-0 up, Origi getting a goal and an assist to an own goal. You know, it was just a great start. Don't get me wrong, Alisson getting injured tainted it a little bit.
Yeah.
But, for me, the moment is Mane's goal.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. And you mentioned Origi there. Don't be surprised if he gets a game at the weekend with Firmino on the bench, if he's been away on international duty.
Yeah, I'd certainly at least start with Firmino and get a good, comfortable 2 or 3 goal lead, then bring him on and bring Oxlade on and bring whoever else on.
Just give him a nice rest. Get the game won, get it done, and then rotate.
Yeah,
and then think about Napoli. So for the rest of the season, who is your tip for being our best player this season?
Well, at the moment, it's Adrian.
Adrian is our best player
at the moment. He's come in and saved our bloody club. Who would it have been? That Kelleher character?
Oh, he would have been. Yeah.
But no, that, in all seriousness, I think our most important player is going to be Bobby.
Yeah. No,
important or best player?
Important.
Bobby.
I'm inclined to agree, because we are a completely different team when he's not in it.
Without him, we're the same as every other team that plays 4-3-3. With him, we're completely different concept to every other side that plays it.
Yeah. So you could go through the team and pick a few players. I mean, for me...
Exactly right.
For me, I think we're completely different as well without Sadio Mane on the pitch. I think he stretches teams so much, and he's so unorthodox sometimes when you watch him, but he's mental. And I think he's...
He had a bit of a tiff on against Burnley though, didn't he?
Yeah, but I'm okay with that. What's your opinion of it?
I think it's... I mean, how many players have we seen go off in a huff on the bench because, A, they don't want to be, or for a particular moment? But I think that means he cares and he wants to score a lot of goals. I mean, don't get me wrong, in that particular moment, Salah should have passed to either Mane or whoever was on the right-hand side. I think it was Bobby, wasn't it?
Yeah.
From memory. He should have passed.
One for Bobby and one for Mane, I think.
Having those two players in particular, I'll exclude Bobby out of this particular conversation because he's not an out-and-out goal scorer, but them wanting to score as many as they possibly can is only good for us. And it's daunting for everyone else. When they've got them guys coming at you, watch out.
At the end of the day, they're strikers. You want them to... They have to be greedy to an extent. My only one concern, as you mentioned it earlier, goal difference. Salah could have just passed that across, and that could have easily been a 4-5-0 win instead of the 3-0. But I think at 0-0 or at 1-0, Salah makes the pass because he's not that selfish. I think he just wanted a goal for himself because everyone else had got the goals. He hit the post early on. I've got no issues of him doing what he does, as long as it's not constant and becomes a problem that he is becoming greedy.
Yeah, exactly right. Off. I mean, beating Burnley, what was it, 3-1, wasn't it?
No, we beat him 3-0, clean sheet.
Was it 3-0?
Yeah, it was the first...
I feel like I remember
season.
Seeing Ashley Barnes scoring, but I could have just made that up.
No, that was just in every other game he's played.
But yeah, not many teams are going to go to Turf Moor and beat Burnley 3-0. So no,
exactly.
You know, you can give Salah a bit of leeway there for that, but as you said, if it was 1-0, it's not happening. He's passing it and it's a goal.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. So now, for me, it's not an issue. There's no.
And I think the break's been good for him. The break was good. Came at the right time.
Yeah, and I think Salah and Mane didn't have a game, did they? I think they had a free week.
Did they not? I did see there was, I think, World Cup qualification started in Africa.
Well, Salah was posting things on his social media saying he was relaxed and
he was on a beach somewhere, wasn't he?
Yeah, so I read somewhere, I think.
Well, maybe he didn't, but I did see, again, for betting reasons, I did see there was a lot of games going on between the African nations.
Yeah, no, there was. There was. I remember reading this. It was, there's some African tournament going on at the minute, but it's players that are based in Africa. So the likes of Salah and Mane, because they don't play in Africa, don't get to compete in this tournament. It's
what
another
sort
of version
rules
of it's another version of the African Cup of Nations, but it's based on players who play in Africa, from what I saw.
Well, that would be terrible.
Yeah, and then I think they haven't got a game back for their national teams until November, so that's good. So they've been rested.
Which will be what, they had World Cup qualifiers or something.
Yeah. Because they obviously had the African nations in the summer, so yeah, it's a good time for them to have a rest. So, but nah, all good. I ain't got any issues with it. So,
nah, not at all
for me.
Just means they're hungry.
Exactly. So, now I think we've sort of covered everything now. So, unless there's anything else you want to talk about?
Oh, look, nothing really in particular. No, just want Liverpool to keep on winning, win every game of the season, and we'll win the league. Easy.
Perfect. Sounds so easy when you put it like that.
It is.
Okay, mate, then we'll wrap it up then. That's been sort of 45 minutes, perfect timing. So yep. Thanks for joining me, and thank you everyone for listening, and have a good night or a good day wherever you are.
No worries at all.